Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope that you had an awesome Christmas holiday with your friends and family. And we are back at it answering your listener questions. And we've got a question from Matt. He's a United States Marine Corps veteran. So thank you so much for your service. And he has an Epcot dining crisis. Pam and I will tackle that here in just a second. Don't forget our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we are down to a mere 14 days to go till Marathon Weekend 2019. That's right, 2 weeks from now, we'll be at the Expo getting ready for the 5K in the morning, and it's going to be an awesome time. I get excited every time I look at my iPhone XS Max. I see how many days I have to go. I get great pictures. I have red in the background, still from the Cardinal season. I might need to change that. I pick my font and my audio alert every day. It's an awesome app. You need it right now. Turn your Apple devices into Disney devices right now over at virtualmickey.com. Great deals are happening here post-Christmas on Amazon.com, and you can support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. Just bookmark BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon on all your devices, and when you do that online shopping or use those Amazon gift cards, please support the podcast. Again, it's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1425 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you, and we hope that you had a wonderful, fantastic Christmas with your friends and family. Of course, the holiday season continues. You know, we have New Year's coming up here very, very soon, and for all those that are headed down for the New Year's festivities to Walt Disney World, remember, when you're packing, you want to pack in layers because it could get cold down there this time of year. So lots of stuff where you can layer it up, but also the most important thing to pack. Well, okay, second most important thing, pack your shoes and your underwear. But after that, pack your patience because it can get crazy down there. But you know what? That's what makes it awesome being at a Disney destination during the holidays. So it's kind of the yin and yang of it. It's a little crazy. It's a lot crazy, and it's a lot awesome. So get ready for that if you're headed down. I'm so jealous. I'm not going to be at Epcot for New Year's Eve this year, but I've been there the last few, and I'm going to really miss that this year. So make sure you're sharing a lot on social media for good old Mike back in, I'll be in Memphis for the Mizzou football game. All right, today we're going to answer your list of questions. Joining me today, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Merry Christmas one last time, because you know what? Andrew's still listening on Christmas Day. It's Christmas Day night.
I'm sure. Merry Christmas, Andrew, and everyone else who's listening on Christmas Day. And I agree with Mike. This is the most magical time to be at the world. I know it gets crazy and whatever, but you can make fast pass. You're going to make fast pass for, you know, three things. If you did it 60 days ago, you're golden. You'll just be able to go there and enjoy all the cool holiday things. That's what you have to focus on. And extend a little grace to your fellow man who is there with you and to the cast members too, right? And hopefully they'll do the same for you. So
yes, give peace a chance.
That's right.
That should be that should be stamped on everybody's hand as you enter Epcot on New Year's Eve. Just give peace a chance. Anyway, so let's answer some questions today. We got a great one here to kick us off. We're going to get into the chat room too with their questions. And this one says Epcot dining crisis, all caps with an exclamation point. So boom, we got to take care of Matt here. He says, hey, Mike, howdy from Texas. My family and I are planning a trip to the world in June of 2019. We're in the process of setting up our ADRs. There will be 8 of us total, 2 of which are children. I actually have 2 questions. We're hoping to do a breakfast at Garden Grill on one of our days in the parks, but I'm unable to find any available ADRs for 8 people during breakfast for our days there. There are available times for 6 or less. My question is, should we set up 2 different reservations for around the same time, then let the cast members know that we're all together, or should we book the ADR for 6 and then let the cast member know that we would like to add 2 people to our party upon arrival? All right, so that's his first question, Pam. So 2 strategies. What would you say is his best way to move forward on this?
So you absolutely want to make two reservations for the total number of people that you have. Showing up with more people than is on your reservation can be dicey because they may just tell you no. Seriously, absolutely, they may just tell you no. They don't have room. And even making the two reservations around the same time for your total party is a challenge, especially at Garden Grill, because their little booths and tables only fit a certain amount. Chances are you'll be sort of on the upper level because they're able to sometimes push some tables together. But I would make it for as many as you can. I guess six is the most you can make it. And then also make it for two at the same time if you can. And then when you get there a little early and ask if they can do it. Now, they may or may not be able to, so just be prepared for that. But I think making it for your larger party size is probably the best way to go with that.
Your Garden Grill is a little tricky just because it's a restaurant in the round that moves, and so they don't have as many different ways they can, arrange the tables. But what I would do, I wouldn't even do six or two. I'd do four and four and be proactive.
Yeah, that's true. And then you'd be okay. I was just thinking the six, maybe because they might already sit you up on that second
maybe.
Level.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I know. It's hard. It's totally hard. But yeah, but definitely make them for around the same time and see what you can do. It is a struggle with Garden Grill, though, in particular, because most of the seating on that first level is just the booths, and those won't accommodate eight. And you can't put chairs they have, right? Because Chip and Dale are walking through there, and Mickey's walking through there, and they run into the chairs. So
you can do that at Texas Roadhouse, but you cannot do that at Garden Grill.
Well, and Texas Roadhouse is not open for breakfast.
So. Sure. And they do have dancing waitresses that are pretty bad, and waiters. That's like, and I always have to sit in that row where they're dancing right in front of you. And that's so awkward because the louder the music turns up and we go so much. I know the song that they dance to because they only dance to one song. And so when that song starts, I'm like, oh, this is so awkward because they're dancing 2 feet from me. But really, I just want to eat my chicken critters. But do I watch? Do I applaud? What do I do? do I watch the show? I mean, because it goes on, the dancers don't want to dance. They want to serve, roles and stuff. They don't want to be out there dancing, but they're obligated. They don't look at any, they're looking at the ceiling. It's so weird.
Maybe you should have a conversation with them about it.
I might
so
call
be up. Like, what would you like from me? Tell me. I feel awkward. This is a weird relationship.
That's my listener question for today. What do you do when they start doing the two-step? Anyway, and you know what? Matt's from Texas. He could probably help me out. This could be reciprocal. And he says his second question is about Beer Garden. You know what? I have a question for you, Pam, about Beer Garden in just a second, too. He says, we're planning a late lunch at 2:10. From my understanding, they switch from lunch to dinner around 3 or 4. Does the restaurant actually close temporarily around that time to switch the buffet from lunch to dinner? My concern is that if we eat at 2:10, will we be rushed to eat? Or will we have time to sit down and relax for a bit while we eat? I love listening to y'all. My rides to and from work and school. It's like taking a mini vacation, mental vacation. Keep up the great work. Respectfully, Matt, he is a United States Marine Corps veteran. So thank you so much.
I like the respectfully. That's nice. I don't know that we deserve that, Matt, but we'll take it.
We do not, but Matt has our respect for serving in the Marines.
Thank you so much for that.
All right, so how's that? Because, Ricky's famous for the breakfast lunch duo thing.
True. But,
so what do you think of Beer Garden for the lunch dinner swap out?
So it doesn't actually close if you're already in there, during that time. None of the restaurants really do. And Disney's actually really good about not rushing you out at the close of one meal as it transitions into another. So you should be fine there. Don't feel rushed. And if I ever felt rushed at a restaurant, I would say I would be more inclined to take more time and even slow down more than not. I'm like, oh, you're trying to rush me out? Yeah, I see how this is.
Yeah, my mom told me to chew every bite 62
That's
times
right.
so I don't choke.
Right. I'm like, you're not going to rush me out. No.
Okay. So here's my question about Beer Garden. I've had these weird cravings lately, and I'll be down at Marathon in 2 weeks going solo this time. I'm going to go to Pinocchio Village House. I don't know why I'm craving this place, but I'm going to wave at the boats for Small World and have some kind of food there. I haven't been there in ages, but I'm really wanting to go to Beer Garden. I mean, is Beer Garden really, to me, almost in a way, is a great solo place because you're seated at a big table
with other people.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of social.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, you would be seated with other people. It might be kind of awkward for the other people. They'd be like,
Who's this wackadoodle here by himself having wiener schnitzel?
Like, okay, weirdo. Yes, you can sit with us. No, I'm sure. You know, that's the beauty of Disney. You know you're there. You already have something in common with the people there. You like Disney, at least on some level, right?
Or if somebody's like there because he's got the shirt on and says, I'm just here to pay for the Disney vacation for everybody else, I'll be a hater for 45 minutes and we'll commiserate. You know, I'll take on the role. I'll read the house and take on the role.
It's research, no matter what, right? You're finding things that like are either good for people when they're on vacation or horrible for people on vacation. That's right. But yes, I would call it research. You write that baby off.
It'll be a fun story nonetheless anyway. So, All right, let's get to Julie's question. She's been asking here and I feel so bad in the live chat. Let's get to it. She says, I'm going to type my question in here just in case you get a chance. We just got back from our first visit to Walt Disney World with our son's service dog. We stayed at Fort Wilderness in a cabin, which had its advantages with the dog, but we always split stay. The second portion was at Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo, which we adore, but it was not ideal with the dog at all. Going back and forth on the launch, I am now pretty sold on staying at the Contemporary Garden Wing next trip. Good call. I think that would be an ideal location with the service dog. There's six of us, though, plus the dog, so we need two connecting rooms. I'd request first floor. I want to know if a deluxe room can connect to a regular room. Do you know?
Golly, I wish I knew that question, Julie, but I honestly do not know. And those deluxe rooms are so few and far between in that space. There are just not that many, but they're great. I mean, they're huge. And I know what you're saying. I would, even if the rooms didn't connect, I would sort of use that deluxe room as like the place where people gathered, you know, like in the morning if someone's going to get breakfast, because you just have the extra space. So whether they connected or not, like let's just say it's down the hall. And that's the beauty of it. You only have one building. You don't even have to go outside. Even if someone was like, your other party was like a floor above, they only have to come down. And let's just say, Julie, I've seen people walking around on the outside with pajamas on. So I would say you can come down and gather in the deluxe room in your pajamas and then go back and do the things that you need to do. But you know what I'm saying. I would use that as the gathering place because it's a great room layout.
That's what I'd do too. Yeah, because the deluxe rooms, I mean, when you get those really cool rooms, you know, they're unique and there may be five, six, seven, and they're like usually clustered. So they're not, you know, I would ask though. I mean, but I'd have to look. I'm not off the top of my head.
Actually, even when you call, sometimes we can't get that information.
Mm-hmm. True that.
It's just a challenge. They do not, the Disney query system doesn't have access. They can't drill down that much to us. And wouldn't we all love, a little layout with like, here's the rooms, here's the room types, here's how it is in the building. Hmm. That would be fantastic, but we don't get that either.
Kind of like cruise line. It'd be nice. Just a little.
Right? Yeah. Like deck plans.
Yeah, exactly. Deck plans for the Contemporary. All right. Becky's got a question here in the chat. Ladies trip in combination with Princess Half Marathon weekend. Me, my mom, my aunt, and my cousin Friday through Monday. I only want to do things my kids 3 and 5 wouldn't enjoy, so I don't feel that. Whatever, man. Ride Dumbo. Take a picture. Send it back. They're going to have fun while you're gone, too. Let's see. Character meals sound great, but I'd rather save that for when my kids are with us. World Showcase and Keys to the Kingdom planned. Other ideas? Thanks. Love y'all. She's down in Dixon, Tennessee. You know what? I'd say Disney Springs for sure, because kids aren't going to enjoy Disney Springs. And, I mean, girls' trip, princess weekend, shopping, eating, you know, bowling maybe. There's all kinds of fun stuff to do at Disney Springs.
I agree. I agree. It's become such a good destination. And I know the complaint about Disney Springs right now is that some people, and I don't hear this often, but every now and then they're like, it's like my local mall. And I get that there are stores that you might find at your local mall, but it's such a themed experience. I mean, I think from start to finish, when we were down there last, we just walked around and admired all the different decorations. And they were different with each section of Disney Springs. I thought that was really cool, too. Whether you were in the landing or the other spots, they all changed. So that was great. But there's so many great places to eat and drink and just enjoy. And I think Splitsville, when they added that years ago, that was a great addition because it actually gave you like a destination, something you could do. And the food there is good too. So I agree with that. And just the shopping in itself, the different Disney shops, the different regular shops, it's just a good time.
What about too, Ryan in the chat offers up, you know, do something like a California Grill meal or a Hana Narcusi's, you know, celebrate in style. And again, I think this would be a great opportunity with it being an adult's trip to really focus on maybe doing one or two signature meals, because you probably don't want to have 3 and 5 year olds. You know, I mean, you don't want to do signature meals with them.
Right. No, I agree. There are great signature meals. And I know that sometimes, you know, I think people don't take advantage of that because they want to be in the parks and the parks and the parks. And I get that, too. You want to get your money's worth. But at the same time, I think sometimes the money's worth or the value in the trip come from things not just in the park, but outside the park. If you're focusing so much on getting your monies out of the park, out of your park ticket, you're forgetting that you're on vacation and doing things like enjoying a great meal together or something like that.
And you know what? We are going to have an upcoming show about value versus cost. You know,
love that.
Value versus price, because Mallory's cheerleading squad's going down for cheerleading championships in May. Okay. So, of course, you know, there's like a whole bunch of them. Her gym's been apparently before the last few years. And so they've gone down, and this is our first time with this gym, you know, so they qualified earlier this year. They're going down. Well, you know, everybody's got to pay for flights, and, you know, I mean, it does add up, and, you know, a lot of people are complaining about it. But the thing is, we'll talk about what they're doing. It's one of those things. They're being penny wise and pound foolish by their hotel choice and some of the options they're making. They're saving maybe $100 total for the whole 3 or 4 days, but the experience is going to be poor because of some of the choices. The value is not good. The cost is a little less. But in the end, it's going to cost more. I could go down 17 reasons why it's going to cost more for a lesser experience, but we'll talk about that on a future show, not today. I had this discussion with Pam. She was getting fired up. Like, they're just doing the best they can. I'm like, no, value, not price. I was like, you need to listen to Pam first, because you can't always look at the bottom line, because, I mean, like, the way it's going to happen, we won't have Magical Express. Okay, now we're trying to get to the hotel, you know, stay in Disney Springs. You know, I mean, we're not getting this. You know, you don't have a food court. It's value. It's all
I know.
About value.
It's true. I agree. You know that's my mantra all the time. I mean, we absolutely want to work within a guest budget. But my thing I always say is, if someone didn't tell me that I could stay at a moderate for like X number of dollars more when comparing. And as a travel agent, I'm not doing that to upsell someone. I'm doing that to be like, here's the information. You decide. What you decide is your vacation. It's fine with me either way. But if someone didn't tell me that, like, I could do a park hopper for like $200 more for my family, I'd be mad about that, right? Because I think that's such a great value in that space. So anyways, just little things like that, I think, are something you absolutely have to think about.
All right, let's head back to the inbox here, kind of bouncing back and forth. This is coming from Australia, annual pass or not. It's from Peter. Hey, Mike, love listening to the pod. It's great company on my long commutes during the work week. Still love that you listen down in Australia. That is amazing. He says, we're a long way out. However, beginning to plan a big visit coming from Australia in 2020. We're hoping to stay for around 12 to 14 nights, split between, budget permitting, the Polynesian and the Contemporary. I have two questions for starters I hope you can help me with. One, if we decide to stay for 14 nights, can we get park passes that will cover us for that period of time? Or two, would it actually be cheaper to buy annual passes? I'm sure that the cost will be higher. However, do you think that the discounts, etc., will make it worthwhile? If I can slip in another sneaky question, we're thinking of coming in sometime around March or April. Any events to be wary of? And how do you think the new Star Wars land might affect things? Thanks in advance and have a happy new year. Cheers, Pete. All right. So I think this is kind of we have an audience that's very wide, you know, all around the planet. Lots of UK listeners, Australia, you know, everywhere. So what advice do you give international folks? Because they tend to come. I mean, if you're coming from the other side of the planet, you're not going to do a long weekend. You're going to stay for, you know, a couple of weeks typically. So what do you say, Pam?
It really, really depends on so many factors. But I think one of the things you have to look at is there used to be this advice floating out there that if you're 8 days or more, that's definitely annual pass. That advice is actually a little outdated because the annual passes have increased the past couple of years significantly. So I think the factor's a little more than that. You need more days than that. And one of the things you also have to take into consideration is that Disney releases their discounts for packages earlier than they do for like annual pass discounts. Any annual pass discount on a room is going to be like the clearance sale. It's going to be what's left over. So that's something you absolutely want to take advantage of, especially when you have two hotels kind of in mind that could book up during that time. So by the time it comes to annual pass discounts, there may not be some available. Now, the longest park days you can choose is, something you want to consider that. Because in the U.S., there's sort of a limit on that. You can buy a 10-day. But the good news is you can buy a 10-day with Water Parks and More, or whatever they're calling it this week. I'm not even attempting.
Park Hopper Plus, baby.
Thank you. I'm not even attempting to learn the new lingo. I'm so tired of it.
Hey, it's what I do.
So anyways, buy it with the Water Parks, and that extends that 10-day into a much longer ticket because your water park entrance days do not pull from the days that you have to go into the parks. So consider that too. I think that that's a big bonus, especially when you're going to be there for a long period of time. Having some days where you don't go into the parks is a good thing, right? Stay at your resort, especially at the two resorts you chose. You're going to want to spend a day by the pool there at the Polynesian. It's just a great pool setup. Spending days at the water parks, that's a good thing to do too. And I think it just gives you a little bit of flexibility. Now, the other thing I will say too is if you're really set on buying an annual pass, one of the things you can do to go ahead and book and take advantage of those discounts that come out with packages is buy a package with the ticket that has the longest number of days. And when you're there, you can upgrade to an annual pass.
So. That's what I would say. If this was me in his situation, I'd buy the package with the 10-day Park Hopper Plus. If you're going to use, if you get the Park Hopper Plus, you got to upgrade to the annual pass with the water parks. Depends if you're going to use that or not. I'd get a Park Hopper, maybe not the Plus if you're going to upgrade and then make that choice later. But then upgrade it during your stay. You'll have enough days. You'll be covered. Every time you mention, I started laughing when you talked about the Polynesian pool because I was like, pictures Steve's belly flop into the Polynesian pool. Like, I'll never picture that pool without the Instagram bouncy video.
He got thing. Yahtzee. Apparently.
That's right. That is a rule. So if you're coming from Australia and you hit Yahtzee while you're playing poolside, boom, you have to belly flop into the pool. It's a Be Our Guest podcast rule.
But it's a great example of enjoying stuff outside the parks. One day we were by the Polynesian pool and we were playing Yahtzee.
It was one of the best days too. Really? I mean, honestly, it was. We weren't running around sitting,
We had a great day. It was a pretty good day. But that was fun. And it's not like something you can do at home. Not like that. So anyways, we had a good time.
We're starting to learn how to do Disney right. We're figuring it out here after a few trips.
Agreed.
It's not always what's in the guidebooks. Let me just say, too, he's also asking about crowds. Of course, we don't know how that's going to go. But if I had to guess, with Galaxy's Edge coming online sometime late 2019, I would imagine that spring break 2020 is going to be hopping. I'm just saying. I would expect that this is probably going to be the most crowded the resort will be in a decade, if I had to guess.
The one truth we will know is that DHS will never be called a half-day park again.
No. Well, it'll be a half day before you can actually see it when you get off the tram to get into the park is what it's going to be.
It will be really interesting. And I think even Slinky Dog has made it so that, it really is kind of filling up that time. Now, if we could just get a couple restaurants where you could actually eat at, we'd be golden. So anyway,
I know. All right. Let's head back to the chat. Greg's got a question here. He says, hey, gang, looking forward to my marathon weekend trip and staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo for the first time. I have a question about Amazon Prime Now. Do I need to present? Do I need to be present? I can read. To pick up the order, or can I leave a comment to leave the items with Bell Services and then pick everything up later? What is the best move? Thanks so much and happy holidays, Greg. Okay, so Greg, let me ask. again, your mileage may vary with these kind of things because it's all about how the package is accepted at the resort. I've done this many times and it's gone different ways. Coronado Springs, my stuff always ends up at the business center. And then I got to pay like $15 to get it out of jail, you know, because they have a business center. That's how it works. It's like, oh, I think that happened at Boardwalk too. And then you got to walk like 7 miles to get it over at the business center there too. And I ordered all kinds of crap. I had all kinds of stuff. Like that was the time I had all the sweats and everything for Marathon Weekend. But Animal Kingdom Lodge doesn't have a business center. That's good. You're not going to have to pay the extra money. What's going to happen is, at least with Amazon Prime, now I'm not talking Prime Now, the like 90-minute thing or 1 hour thing, but with regular Prime, I order my stuff about 4 to 5 days prior to the trip. I fill in the address of the resort. I just Google it and it'll tell you. And I put care of Mike Rallman, guest at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I put the dates I'll be there. And then what happens is Bell Services, anybody that receives that package at Animal Kingdom Lodge, it isn't hard for them to figure out, oh, this is a guest that's going to be here from January 8th to the 12th. Okay, I'll throw that. And then they throw it off to the side. You go down Bell Services, tip them, and get your stuff. With Prime Now, they do the kind of the same thing because I don't think I've ever, I mean, because they deliver to the front of the resort. I don't think I've ever been there to pick it up myself from the driver. I think they leave it at Bell Services too. I think it's the same thing.
That's what has happened to us. But here's the difference. So the stuff that I've ordered from Prime, just regular Prime, using stuff shipped to the resort, not Prime Now, we've had to pay the package on just about everything now. On Prime Now, we have not had to pay the fee because it's something that does go to Bell Services. But the beauty of Prime Now is, you know, right when the guy's there. So we have gone down, and I think we've gone down within minutes of when it was delivered or when we saw it was going to be delivered, just so we could pick it up and Bell Services didn't have to worry about putting it away. But I believe the prime packages go through the regular mail center, which is sort of in a holding area, which is why sometimes you'll see, like, you know, with Amazon, you get updates like, here it is, we dropped it off at your house and here's a picture of it.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So things are a little delayed at Disney. Like, you typically, like, things got delivered yesterday and then they call me and say, oh, we have it, if it's a regular package. But Prime Now, they're really good about letting you know. You just gotta tip everyone accordingly for that. So
with Prime Now, the tip's actually right in the app when you order it.
Yeah, so that's right. Really nice. That's right. It is.
The gratuity's
right
there. That, I like that. I wish everything was like that.
Because
I, you know, everybody needs it. In the service industry, you should always have a gratuity, and you know that makes it so much easier. When Uber made the tip in the app, that was great because I just never have cash. It's not that I don't want a tip; it's just that, you know, it's hard to keep track of all that.
I know, I agree. They allow you now in Uber to tip.
Finally,
they didn't
nice.
Used to. I know, finally, right? So,
all right. So, don't forget to order your throwaway sweats on Amazon. Use our link, and then everybody's happy. You're warm. We're happy. You're happy. Everybody wins. Okay, so William's got a question. I think it's a good one. Even though the Christmas parties are now behind us, so we won't have those hard ticket events too much here again until, well, you know, say August when the Halloween parties start again. It's crazy.
Yes, I know. It's crazy to think about that, right?
That is nuts. But he's saying, with Christmas parties being 3 to 4 times a week, does the Magic Kingdom on a party day make more sense? At one park on a recent, or one point on a recent trip, Small World was 55 minutes. They were on a non-party day. So this is kind of a philosophical thing, you know. So you can go to the Magic Kingdom on a party day, which means you're going to get booted out at 6. So you're not getting as many hours. But some people might tend not to go to the Magic Kingdom because you're not getting the nighttime hours that day. Or everybody that's not going on those days is going to the Magic Kingdom on the days where there isn't a party. So it's like a philosophical thing. What do you say, Pam, to that?
I know, right? It's like Schrodinger's cat or one of those little things, right?
I don't know what that means, but go ahead.
If you go to the party, if you go to the Magic Kingdom on a party day, now, so I think if that's what works into your schedule, better, first of all, because there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I don't want to go to the Magic Kingdom on a party day, even though that's really the day they want to go. First of all, for me, that's a no-brainer. Absolutely go ahead and go anyways. Because like you said, Mike, there are people who don't have park hoppers. So when they, at 6 o'clock, they're going to be done for the day visiting any park. And so they'll avoid the Magic Kingdom because of that. I have found lately that these days that the party is taking place, Magic Kingdom does feel a little less busy until that like 4 o'clock time when the party folks start coming in. But I felt like it's a little less busy during that time. And we've really enjoyed that. So consider that. They will really boot you out at six. It's so funny. I watched when we were doing the party this year specifically as to how they were doing it. First of all, they have about 100 different checkpoints where you have to show your wristband to get through. And if you don't have your wristband, they sort of shoo you politely out. I mean, they do it politely, but whatever. To get on any attraction, you have to show your wristband. And to access like any of the cookies or things like that, you have to show your wristband. But they really do sort of make a sweep and sort of push people out. And it's kind of an interesting process to watch. But yeah, they will kind of usher you out at six. But I would not avoid it. Be there when the park opens, go and enjoy. That's really, you know, when you think about it, 9 to 6 is a full day at the park.
Yeah, because so. I mean, you could turn that into a Disney Springs evening, a night by the pool, yep. Even though it's, you know, it's cool. You can still swim even in the, you know, Christmas time down in Florida. Most nights, not every night, but, you know, most nights are what have you. But again, that's the beauty of the park hopper too, you know, because then, you know, just bail out of there at 4 o'clock and you could go over to Epcot and see Illuminations and do World Showcase. I mean, I like to consider World Showcase is a great place to land as well as Disney Springs when you're kind of behind the crowds. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of parks, you want to get there, rope drop and be ahead of the crowds because you're queuing up for a lot of stuff. Well, World Showcase, if you're just there to take in the exhibits, see, you know, Impressions de France or the, you know, ride the boat ride in Mexico, have a margarita, get a meal, snack around. That's great because who cares if you get there at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening? You're not queuing up for anything. You're not behind anybody.
It's perfect. And then the other thing you can do, especially at that time of year, schedule a candlelight processional dining package. Then you're going to be able to have a great meal. And then see the candlelight processional with a much smaller weight, and boom, your evening set. See holiday illuminations. I'd call that a full day.
Heck yeah. All right. Jody Sprinkles had a question here in the chat. I'm sorry I missed it earlier, so let's get to this. But I mean, we're doing the show with Pam, so there's really no point in asking this question, but we will anyway. She says, hey guys, which would you choose for Which would you choose for a monorail resort dinner? California Grill or Ohana? Going in September and already thinking food. Okay, so Pam, why would you pick California Grill?
What? Like, oh. You didn't even let me answer.
I know. That's why I didn't even ask it earlier. I'm like, well, do I even ask? I don't even know.
No. So if you're looking for a good meal, an adult meal, they're really different experiences. One sort of a more all-you-can-eat family-style meal, and that's Ohana. You're going to meet your cousins. You're going to have lots of meat showing up at your table. Hello. One of my favorite things at Ohana is the salad and the noodles.
The sides are sweet. The sides are super good. They're under, like, everybody talks about the meats, but the sides are kind of that's a hot take. That's a hot take. You go to Ohana for the sides.
So that the California Grill is a more signature dining experience. And the beauty of it is you also have a great spot for the fireworks. We have had, you know, some really great experiences at California Grill. Even if you aren't seated by the window, you absolutely can go out on the catwalk, watch the fireworks. It's really a unique view. You get sort of a Space Mountain central sort of view of the fireworks. It's kind of a cool thing. You absolutely can see the castle too. And you can hear the show. Now you're not going to be able to see the projections, but for me, if I'm, you know, looking for an evening that I really want to be an event, I'm going to do the California Grill. So.
Yeah, I'm more of a Ohana guy because you're talking unlimited food. I mean, and I love the Polynesia, man. I am ready to move in with George. I love palm trees and I want to be somewhere in Polynesia. Fiji, put me on Survivor. I don't care. Whatever. I just love that stuff. So,
too anyway. Funny.
All right. Next question is from Jennifer Marietta Greenwood. She says, would you recommend Up a Great Bird Adventure or Festival of the Lion King for our last fast pass at Animal Kingdom? We have 3 kids. They're 3, 5, and 6 and can't get Cali River Rapids, but did get Flight of Passage, and they'll do Rider Swap, of course, and the Safari Fast Pass. Thanks for any advice, Jennifer. Okay, first of all, you dodged a bullet with Cali River Rapids.
Right?
Just drenched. It depends on what time of year they're going. But I mean, in July, maybe. But I hate being soaked. I don't mind getting wet, like on Splash Mountain. But I don't want to, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, hey, there's a pool. I'm going to jump in it with my clothes. And now I'm going to walk around for the next 8 hours in these wet sneakers and clothes.
That's just, I know,
that's
right?
Not my jam. I mean, I guess it used to be, but it's not. So for me, if I had the choice between, and I still, you know, this is so bad giving advice like this, because I've never seen the bird show ever at Animal Kingdom, you know, before it was up or before. But I know it's one of the few things I've never done. I was talking to Ricky about that. But I consider, and so does my wife, Festival of the Lion King one of the most underrated and one of the best shows anywhere on property. So I think if you can get Festival of the Lion King, that's pretty sweet. You could probably walk up to Up, too.
I agree. I totally agree. I think you'll be able to walk into the Up show during that Up show. That sounds like some kind of bodily function. I Up showed.
Yeah. Oh.
So anyways, I think absolutely you want to do Festival of the Lion King. That's a show that does get busy, and having the Fast Pass allows you not to spend so much time waiting in line to get in. And then I would absolutely make sure that you catch the bird show. I think you'll be able to walk in during a time that fits your needs, and make sure you do Finding Nemo too, because I think that's another show over at Animal Kingdom.
So. That's a tough one for the dads, man. It gets you right here as a dad.
It does. It does. And it starts off a little sad, but then it picks up from there.
It does. William, I love recording these live, and folks that join us live on our Facebook chats when we do these, because William says, saw the new bird show, and it was awesome. Birds were amazing, and they brought up different holidays. And if you have an Up fanatic, Doug and Russell are there. So they
love good. Doug love and Russell.
But I did say, I told Ricky, we were talking about this on a previous podcast, that if they had a parrot that rode a bicycle on a tightrope, I would be there. Now, see, they do that at Grant's Farm here in St. Louis. Like the Bush family that, you know, Anheuser-Busch, the beer barons, they have this, it's kind of like a big zoo, but it's their house, but they have all kinds of crazy, you know, they have animals, they have elephants and stuff. And it's like a zoo. You can go there for free. They have free beer samples. You'd love it, Pam. We'll have to take Steve there sometime. But so one of the things growing up, they had a bird show. They have an elephant show. They have a seal show. But yeah, the bird show, I still remember from my childhood, this little parrot came out and got on this little bicycle and rode across his tightrope. And I said, you have that down there? And I'm at the show every time. But I don't think they do.
So that's what it takes.
It takes a parrot on a bicycle on a tightrope. I mean, three things. How hard is that? Anyway.
All right. Well, we'll take you to see the Up show at some point and see how it goes.
All right. Okay. Last question of the day. None too soon from Logan. Hey, BOGP crew. My husband and I have a 5-day split stay coming up in February, staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge and Yacht Club. Nice. I just found out that I'll be in Florida at work. At work trip for the 3 days immediately preceding our trip. Rather than trekking back up north, I've decided to head straight over to Orlando and beat my husband there by one night. My biggest question is, where do I stay this extra night? I'll be getting in Wednesday, and then my husband won't be getting in until 6 p.m. Thursday night. On Thursday, I'll be alone and without a park ticket, so looking for a resort with great amenities like lounge dining, areas to walk around, and even a spa, solo activities, or one near Disney Springs. Right now, I'm in between Wilderness Lodge, Grand Floridian, or French Quarter. Where would you all pick from this list, or is there another resort I should check out for my bonus night? One final question. Our trip overlaps with my husband's birthday. Do you have any experience or tips for ordering custom cakes to be delivered at a restaurant? We're doing Rose and Crown, his birthday night. Thank you so much, Louisa. All right, so I like that bonus night, man. That is, there's nothing like that. It's like you're playing with house money. Where do I want to stay? The whole world's in front of me. But it sounds like she's narrowed it down to Wilderness Lodge, the Grand, or French Quarter. Again, she's looking for solo lounge dining, which you're not going to have at French Quarter. That's not a great, you know, you got a food court, but that's really about it. But you could take a boat to Disney Springs. Spa, you're not going to have that at any of them except the Grand. I don't know, Pam, where would you go with this bonus night?
Gosh, I think they all have pluses. You know, with French Quarter, you can go ahead and take the boat over to Disney Springs. I see that as a plus.
Yep.
The Wilderness Lodge, though, just has a great feel to it. You'd get to do Territory Lounge or Geyser Point or Roaring Fork, for that matter. So you really have three choices that would sort of be easy for you to dine at. You can take the boat over to Fort Wilderness, which, you know, you could do a little walking around there, see that area if you wanted to. The Grand Floridian is going to have the spa atmosphere for you. It absolutely will have lounge eating. You can grab something at Misner's. There's also a bar at Narcoosie's that sometimes you can just walk up to and sit at and grab something to eat if you want to do that. It's not lounge food. It's actually their actual menu there. So consider that. Citrico's has the same kind of thing. You can do that there. And from there, you could take the bus over to Disney Springs. And that would be the same case over at the Wilderness Lodge. Take the bus over. But the other thing you could do at the Grand Floridian is you're on the monorail loop. So that opens up sort of a whole new world, if you will, in that space. And you can walk to the Polynesian. There's actually a really nice path that goes from the Grand Floridian to the Polynesian. So that would open up that as well. And I love walking around the Polynesian at night. There's just something about that, the tiki torches and all of that. So we didn't help at all, I don't think, but I hope we outlined some pros of the ones that you were considering.
Yeah, Robert kind of echoes what you said about Wilderness Lodge. You know, you got the great pool, Geyser Point. You have the Territory Lounge. If it were me, I would just, here's what I would say. I'm going to give you a definite answer of what I would do. I would go Grand Floridian because, for one thing, it's one night. Grand Floridian's not cheap, but, you know, one night is something that you can usually swing. It's a bonus night, and it's hitting everything you need. It has lounge dining. It has a spa. It's got solo activities. You know, you can hear the orchestra play, and it's just, like I said, monorail's right there. You got a lot of options. So I would do the Grand for one night, and then your husband will be jealous. I mean, then yeah, how bad right? is that? Like, what are you saying? Pop Century? No, kind of. Grand Floridian.
Yes, I'm staying another night.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't say where. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting there. I'm going to rough it. You know, I'm roughing it by staying in the outer buildings, not that's concierge. Right. Anyway, that's pretty rough. All right. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for the questions. Thanks to everybody who joined us live in the Facebook chat. We love that very, very much. Send in those questions again to mike@brguestpodcast.com, and we'll get to those right away. And don't forget, today's episode brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps for, you know, those new devices you probably got over Christmas. You probably got a shiny one and you're playing with it. So grab Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free app that keeps you up to date with all the Disney news, the Disney movies, theme parks, anything that you know. If you're listening to this podcast, it's a great way to have that right in front of you as you eat your cereal, or, you know, hey, we're eating Christmas cookies still for the next 2 or 3 weeks at least for breakfast. But who cares? You know what? It's a great thing to eat or eat. You don't want to eat the app. You want to eat the cookie. It's a good thing to read while you're eating your Christmas cookie, whatever. So just go to virtualmickey.com. Check out all the great apps. They'll turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Again, virtualmickey.com. And again, you know, Amazon's probably having some great deals today. It's post-Christmas. Everybody has great deals the day after Christmas. So check them out and use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestPod and @BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, it's time to get out of here. But hey, we have a great show already recorded for your Friday. We are going to be taking your calls. We got lots and lots of calls. It's a marathon weekend preview show. We talk about what to expect at the expo, where to meet before the races, talk about the courses a little bit, events that are going to be happening surrounding marathon weekend. Everybody called in with lots of questions, encouragement. So for those folks that are running, and even if you're not running marathon weekend, even if you're not a big Run Disney fan, you can get in there because we talk about resorts. You know, it's not just all Run Disney. It's geared toward the lizards. We give one show to get everybody excited for Marathon Weekend. But I think you'll like it as well because you get to hear some of the voices of the folks you've probably seen posting on social media. It's just a fun podcast. So Friday's going to be a little different, but I really do hope you enjoy the show. All right, so for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work for some, maybe not all, but hey. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.